K103.7 FM, your First Nation radio station. That's Philip Sace, and I'd love to change the world. You're Jake Lawrence, and on the phone with me, good afternoon, Phil. How are you doing?
Doing well, Jake. I'm feeling good today. How are you feeling?
Very good. We're with Philip Sace on the phone. You got a brand new album out. Philip, just quickly, there's been about a year, I think, since we last talked that you were on the phone with us, and you were played here last year. You're playing here again next week. Just give us an idea. Give us a little bit of background on Philip Sace and where you came from and how you got to be where you are today.
well, thanks for asking, Jake, and certainly a real pleasure to chat with you again. And I'm a music lover first and foremost. Extremely grateful for the opportunity to make music in my lifetime and to share it with you and hopefully with your listeners as well. And grew up in Toronto, and was playing the clubs there, put a record out as a teenager, and then started working with Jeff Healey for about 4 years, where we toured globally, which was incredible to work with one of my heroes. And then from there, I moved to Los Angeles and did some work with an artist named Uncle Cracker, and from there, Melissa Etheridge, who I worked with for about almost 4 years as well, very thankful. So I consider those experiences to have been like my apprenticeship, you know, learning from these great masters and trying to be a sponge and learn as much as I could. Did some extensive touring over in Europe as well, released a bunch of records there, and then about, I guess, a year and a half or so ago, had the opportunity to work with fine folks at Warner Music Canada. So we put out a record called Influence, which was when Jake, you and I first met.
That's right.
And then just recently, Warner has, a couple weeks ago, released a live record called Scorched Earth Volume 1.
Oh, yeah. Now, let's get right into that. I've been listening to it in my car the last couple of weeks. It's a great live album. Why did you go live with this one?
You know what? I think it was just sort of an idea to keep more material coming in between studio releases.
Oh, okay.
And I think, you know, an opportunity to sort of document one of the shows that was really just one of the shows on a tour from April earlier this year. And okay. It was done and recorded in Toronto at the Silver Dollar Room. And, really just an opportunity to share what the live concert experience is a bit like, because it is different from the studio recordings. You know, it's two very different environments, and but I love both equally.
You know what? I've listened to both albums. I saw your show, I think it was last year or the year before when you first came here. And as you just mentioned, it is both different. But I love the live album because I find seeing you live and then listening to it, it really catches the essence of who you are and what you do on stage, which is just incredible to watch.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you, Jake. I mean, I'm trying my best, so
yeah.
Thank you.
There's one thing I noticed, and I caught this on the first album, and I watched you live, and you did it again. It's a technique, I'm for lack of a better word, when you're singing, a lot of times I know you really pull off the mic a bit, you know? And it I find it interesting, and where did this technique or idea come from? That, I mean, you really, really back off on it. I mean, you got a powerful voice. What's the reason for that?
You know, I think ultimately to create some dynamic shift, and I think also chronically getting a little bit more of a it brings a different sound. You know, if you're right up on the microphone,
yes,
of course, we want that. We want clarity. We want to hear all the words. We want to hear what's going on. So, yeah, you want to have good mic technique and be up close to it. But then there are times, I think, sometimes during the show where if it's a particularly moody spot or a quiet spot, you can create different sounds and different sort of a different experience. If you back up from the mic a few feet, it still picks it up, but you're getting more of an ambient type sound, more of the sound of the room, I think, so to speak. You just get a different experience. So I think it's really just being mindful of dynamics and hopefully giving people an opportunity to get closer in that way.
No, it absolutely works, and you've mastered the technique like better than I've seen a lot of rock singers do it. And I found it interesting. I said, wow, but you really got it nailed, you know, and it really, it's effective and it really works well.
Oh, that's cool. Well, thanks, Jake. I'm trying. So, you know, just trying to keep making it better. That's all I can do. Just trying to keep getting better. So, thank you.
What do you got for the band? I think the last time you're here, you didn't have a keyboard player. Do you have one? Is he still with you? How is that working? I mean, as far as your band goes.
So we're traveling as a trio. There are not keyboards on this tour, as much as I would love to have our B3 player come along.
Right.
We are doing it as a power trio, and a great drummer named Jimmy Paxton is on drums, and Joel Gottschalk, who is a great bass player, is going to be with me as well.
Oh, okay. So all you guys, tell me again, and I keep every time we talk, I ask about it. You're bringing that guitar with you.
Well, that's my intention. Yeah. That's my intention. You know, I actually bought I bought a seat for it this time on the plane because
smart.
You know, you got to pay to check your bags now anyway, so might as well buy a seat for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a beautiful old Fender. What other guitars are you using? I mean, obviously you don't rely on one. So, what other ones are you using for different sounds, or are they all Fenders? Or
you know what? I do. I enjoy a wide range of guitars. On this tour, I think I will be traveling with my two favorite Stratocasters.
Okay.
Stratocasters are most of the time they're pretty tough.
Yeah.
They can kind of take it. Whereas I have an old like Gibson SG that I love. I really enjoy it. But it's a little bit more fragile. You know, it's not quite as you know, sturdy in the same way as a good old Strat. So,
yeah.
Not that one's better than the other. It's strictly for when you're loading in and out of a van in the middle of the night, and you know, you're chucking stuff into the van in the dark. You know, you gotta go with stuff that's going to be a little bit rugged. And those Stratocasters, for the most part, you know, touch wood, have been pretty rugged.
So yeah.
Now,
on this tour, or maybe another one, do you sit down with an acoustic guitar, maybe alone, and do some blues on that? Have you done that or planning on doing that in the future?
So, you know, that's a great question. You know, you're right on point, Jake. Yes, there is going to be a little bit of that. I'm not sure whether I'll sit down or I'll stand. I think it just depends on the logistics of the, you know, like you're mentioning, the microphone and some of our setup. So, but yeah, I am planning actually on bringing out it's a National guitar, so it's a steel-bodied resonator acoustic guitar.
Okay.
And so, you know, depending on our you know, sound check and all that kind of stuff, my intention is to maybe include a solo acoustic song during the show. So something a little different this time.
Oh, absolutely. Here's some of the interesting questions we talked about off air that I'm going to throw at you. If you could go to a show right now to see any band or any musician, in a fantasy, in the best scenario, dead or alive, who is the ultimate person or band that you would want to see that you never did?
Well, there are a couple that come to mind. I think Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix, I would, you know, just love to, you know, for obvious reasons.
Absolutely. Jimi Hendrix.
I think just to see how, you know, how that master was, you know, changing shapes and the power of the planets and gravity through his art, you know, just to experience that in person, I think would be pretty, you know, indescribable. And certainly would love to see Stevie Ray Vaughan perform live as well. I feel like he's one of the few other artists that, you know, encompass that type of interplanetary energy, you know, so I would say those two come to mind immediately.
Yeah.
Many more. Bob Marley, too. How about that?
Oh, okay. You're right off in another direction, but absolutely. Your first two, I'm with you on that. I did see Steve Ray Vaughan, I think, the same year he passed away, and it was a truly amazing show. Truly amazing. Who would you want to go to your show? Who would you want sitting in the front row watching Philip Sayce play his guitar?
Oh, my gosh. That's a cool question. Yeah. Well, the first name that came, first two names that came to mind were Stevie Wonder and Eric Clapton.
Okay. Okay. Stevie Wonder, that interests me. That's a funny, that's an interesting answer. Coming from you, but that's interesting. Very interesting.
Well, you know, I put him up there with, you know, on that top shelf of all time of, you know, I mean, he's just, there's no description needed for Stevie Wonder. You know, he's just certainly a true genius of music. And, you know, I will say, I know one time there was a show a long time ago I played, and I looked over to the side of the stage, and Jimmy Vaughn was there watching the show, and he was standing side stage for the whole show, or the majority of it, and I was really nervous because, you know, he's one of my heroes, and you know, and he was such a gentleman, such a nice guy, such a you know, what are you going to play when Jimmy Vaughn is watching? I mean,
oh, I'd put it down. I'm done now. I'm going to go home.
you know, it was kind of like that, you know, and he was a real, real gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good, nice person.
Okay, one final thing we'll let you go. I know you're a busy man. While you're on the road with the band and traveling between shows, it can get dull. What do you do for guilty pleasure while you're on the road to occupy your time?
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, in between shows, the best thing that, for me personally, what I'm trying to do is to recharge and regenerate in the show. So I really try to protect that time and have good boundaries around it. Because, you know, it's really is 111% when it's showtime and there's nothing left. And so it'd be like if, you know, it's a little bit like if you're on a hockey team and you come into town and you just wear it all out. You give it everything you have.
Yeah.
That next day when you know, you get up and you go, man, I gotta pace myself today because we got to do this again tonight. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Hey, absolutely. Yeah.
So you know, guilty pleasure, I think, is really just keeping my mouth shut and keeping my brain quiet so that I can be in fully focused and ready to give everything that I have at the show.
Yeah.
So guilty pleasure, enjoying a little bit of quiet space. How about that?
That's a perfect answer. Next week, you're in town at Cafe Campus here in Montreal, Thursday night. Can't wait to see that. You're doing a Canadian tour. Is your tour taking you to the U.S. or to Europe during this tour for this album, Scorched Earth?
So, yes, I am going to Europe in the spring for a couple of shows, a festival in Switzerland, a show in France. There are some U.S. shows I'm doing out here on the West Coast. I think I'm going to do a Los Angeles show in December. But I think immediately the first sort of, you know, run of dates are going to be through Ontario and Quebec.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be first. And then, you know, we're continuing to try to make friends up there, and try to find more opportunities to come and play shows.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you, Philip, for your time today. I know you're a busy guy, and good luck next week. Hopefully see you next week at Cafe Campus. And I'm going to leave the audience here with a song from your latest album, Scorched Earth. And the song is called "The Blues Ain't Nothing But a Good Woman."
Oh, yeah.
This is Philip Sace, K103.7 FM.